You're listening to the Blue Box Podcast, and for the next 60, 70, 80, 90, whatever number of minutes, we're going to be talking about Doctor Who so that you don't have to. And I'm JR.
I'm Lee.
I'm Mark.
I'm Simon.
And we're going to start with an on the spot. Yes, we are. A little bit of on the spot to get us all warmed up.
No.
Yes, and today's first on the spot goes to... It goes to...
Mark hasn't done one yet.
I know. Shush. He's not done one, but it goes to you, Simon.
I'm yes!
You and your big mouth.
High five.
I'm afraid you were picked out of the hat. You got your watch?
Yes.
No. Right.
No, you got a hat.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll just have to judge it.
Is it a top hat?
Yeah, well, it's actually a deck of cards. Oh. I just put out an ace, a two, and a three, and assign you a different number.
You actually did that?
Yeah, I've got no
did
other
way of
doing
it. Did you do it in the cave, all on your own, talking snakes, whatever it was?
Yes, I
speaking
did.
Speaking tongues.
Look, we've got a lot of
Come
emails
on, Callie,
here.
Get on
Let's
with
get
it.
On with it. And your subject, your specialist subject for tonight. Are you ready there, Mark, with the clock? Okay, we'll do it anyway. Your specialist subject for tonight, 60 seconds, or thereabouts, on the subject of, Simon...
Stop laughing, Lee.
Silver Nemesis.
Oh, dear.
Start talking.
Has it started?
Yes.
Silver Nemesis. What a reputation. I don't actually remember it being as bad as everyone says, but... There were some elements to it that I quite liked. I liked the idea of parts of a statue coming together, if I remember it rightly. And,
Have you seen it?
Magic.
Have you
not,
seen it?
Not since it was on.
Oh, really?
No.
Never mind. You've still got 35 seconds. Go.
I think it was a bit of a... reading up about it, it's a bit of a bad idea, that particular story, supposedly being the anniversary story. Can't remember what year it was. Was it
88?
No, as in what anniversary?
25th.
Silver.
Yeah, rubbish, isn't it?
Jinx.
That's his final.
Is that it?
It's yeah, rubbish.
It's... Oh, that'll do. That's close enough to a minute.
That was really horrible.
That's a minute.
That was rubbish. That's the worst on the spot. Yeah, you managed to go for about 10 seconds before you needed help.
No, but I quite like the fact that he couldn't remember it.
Yeah,
he hadn't seen it since the
whole point
time.
Of on the spot is the whole point of on the spot is you're put completely on the spot, and if you don't remember the story, you don't remember the story. It's that simple. Mm. I mean, in the next episode, for instance, we might have Mark talking about the Mythmakers.
One of my all-time favourites.
And then again, we might not. Okay, here we go. We have got more emails than content this week, so this is basically just going to be an email show. We have Richard Parkin. Hi, guys. Just started listening to this week's podcast, number 13, and thought I should clarify my email that was read out. My tendency as a three-year-old to put a fishing net over my face and pull it so tight that my face became lumpy in the style of Scaroth occurred after watching City of Death, not before. I was trying to recreate the fantastic cliffhanger and make myself as Scarothy as possible. That is a verb, right? Scarothy?
I think it probably is.
It
did
is
use
now.
A sprout for the one eye.
And the fishing net to the face was my three-year-old way of creating the effect. In retrospect, it worked as well as, if not better than, the BBC attempt.
Probably, actually.
I don't believe it. Richard, if you happen to have photographs.
Yeah.
And if you don't have photographs.
Recreate.
Then recreate it now as a 35-year-old or however old. Hang on, we can work this out.
No, there's a challenge.
If he was 3 and 78, he was... Yeah. So he'd be 38 years old, right?
Yeah, so I'm sure you...
I can't believe
your face can
handle
it.
That quick. Right, your face
can handle it. He's old enough to not care what people think.
And we have a Facebook page where we can put the pictures.
Totally, yeah. If anything actually really bad happens to you, like your nose comes off due to not enough blood going to it...
Yeah, you're not liable.
Just blame JR.
And then Richard finishes his email with the following sentence, which I would like all you guys to react to as you hear it. He says, hopefully this has cleared things up and established that I wasn't some kind of preschool sadomasochist. Now, what do you guys think? Does it make him sound like he wasn't one, or is he just confirmed that he was?
I don't think he sounds like Chucky at all.
No, I think it's the kind of thing you do as a kid, isn't it? I've done worse.
That's a whole other episode.
Oh, we've got lots and lots of emails. Scott Burdett.
Hello, Scott.
Yeah.
Do we know Scott?
Who's he?
Well, we all know.
Do we know
well,
Scott?
We all know. We four know who Scott Burdett is, but not everybody might.
Right.
Well, Scott Burdett is the man who did the Candyman voice at the start of our show the other week.
Yeah.
He emailed in to say, it was never on Saturdays when I was growing up. I distinctly remember having a sulk round my friend's house in 1988 when I wanted to watch Who, but Corrie was on. How cliched is that? All I kept asking was, is it taping?
Did you say assault?
Did I say what?
A sulk.
He had a sulk.
Oh, a sulk. Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought he said assault.
That should have gone on my sheet for... Oh, I am reading the Saturday Feeling sheet. I'm reading from the wrong sheet here. We're doing a great way to start the show, but never mind.
Suddenly I don't feel so bad.
I have got 8 sheets of paper in front of me with emails on them.
I've got very passionate, intense fans shouting at the speakers right now. Why is Simon even on that podcast? He can't even remember Silver Nemesis.
Can't even say it.
I know. There you go.
Silver Nemesis. I wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah, I'm a little worried, actually.
Are you?
Why? Yeah, well, this podcast's not going out for another 2 or 3 weeks, and he can hear them already. That's a little worrying.
That's just Stephen Moffat in the box over there.
Right, this episode is the Saturday Feeling episode
that
we said we were going to do. So we've got sheets and reams and...
of people emailing in their Saturday
feelings.
Yeah,
which we asked for, and that's what the episode's basically going to be. Right. But we do have some other emails, so shall I read out a couple of other emails because, David Kowalski, seriously love the podcast. I plan to be posting on your page, he says, although he hasn't yet, I don't think. He says, is it okay if I don't refer to Adric, although I hate breaking with your traditions?
Yeah.
That's just Mark's tradition, really.
Cool name as well, Kowalski.
Adric.
No, Kowalski.
Adric Kowalski.
It's a really cool Primal Scream track.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, insert here.
It's a Primal Scream track, and that's a fact. What was it named after?
David.
It was a character from...
Yeah.
From a movie which they named the album after, wasn't it?
Yes.
Vanishing Point.
That's it.
Good
1971.
Album.
Hmm.
I can't remember, but it's a brilliant
Anybody
film.
Anybody know? Vanishing Point. No, I think it's 1971. Somebody can email and correct if it's wrong. Mr. Peter on Gallifrey Base said, slowly... Oh, we're going to love this one.
Are we?
Slowly and methodically going through all the Blue Box podcasts that I have missed. Mm. The last 4 minutes of the episode entitled Us is hilarious. I could only scream with laughter as a tired group of lads tear time flight to shreds. Mr. Peter goes on to say, comes close in the comedy stakes to Radio Free Scaro this week, demanding a playset of Mergrave's Castrovalvan Chemists. 4, of course.
Mm.
Oh, I once again, we have been compared unfavourably with Radio Free Scaro.
They are a pretty good podcast, it's got to be said.
Okay. One of the guys from that is one of the guys on The Memory Cheats, isn't he?
He is, Stephen.
Mm. Oh, he's the main guy.
They're both main guys.
No, one of them presents it, and the other one is the guy
Josh,
he chats to.
Josh is a cool guy.
Hey, Stephen is the guy at the start of the episode who says, hello, this is the Memory Cheats.
So, just like that?
Yeah, basically, with a sort of Canadian
I wonder if anybody else is
going
to be doing impressions of you on other podcasts. We'll have to seek him out.
Oh, yeah, if you're doing a podcast and you're doing an impressionation of me, please email me and let me know. I'll have a listen.
We'll insert the MP3.
Why would they be impersonating me? They could be impersonating you. Why wouldn't they?
I don't think I've got that kind of voice you can impersonate.
You think? I don't. I certainly don't.
Well, you've got a regional accent.
Oh, I don't really. No more than anybody else.
Anyway, we're digressing here somewhat.
Yeah. We can make you Welsh.
Okay. Oh, blimey. That's a really long one from Steve from Manchester. I'll come back to that one. Raf Edwards. Hi, guys.
Hi, Raf.
We love Raf. Thanks for the earliest memory analysis on the last podcast. It was great. I read a synopsis of The Leisure Hive, and that story seems vaguely familiar, so I think you're on the right lines. Do you remember this one?
Mm. Yeah.
This was the email we read out where he had about three memories, and we were trying to pinpoint what they were.
Yeah, the old alien's balls dropping off.
That's right.
Off his head.
Yes.
So he thinks Leisure Hive probably was the one with the balls dropping off. Yeah. And in fact, he confirmed that to me on Twitter tonight.
Excellent.
Or last night. He watched Leisure Hive yesterday, and it was correct.
I'm very sorry, Raph, that you had to watch that. I watched it recently as well.
He didn't seem very upset about it. I thought the wheel rolling through the jungle was a huge wooden thing and represented the passage of time, but that it was the same episode as the brain pinging. Well, no. I still think that might be Creature from the Pit.
I still think it might be, yeah. I mean, I watched it the other day in its entirety.
When he tweeted me last night, was it last night? I think it was. He still wasn't sure either. No. And he hadn't caught up with Creature from the Pit yet. So that one
It could
still
have been a dream. Raph.
I was about 7 at the time, so it could be anything. I now know where to start my Doctor Who Classics collection, Series 18, so thanks for that. Just need some money now. What a pity you can't buy them in a complete series box set yet.
Mm.
In terms of my name, which caused you so much confusion. Oh, because Raph Owl. Remember? Yeah. Or Raph Owl.
Yep.
Oh, this is going to please my family, who don't listen to this podcast anyway. No end if they were ever to find out about it, but they don't listen to the podcast, so...
JR, don't cry. Don't cry. Come on.
Oh dear. It is Raphael. I have Facebooked you to about Richard Dreyfuss.
Dreyfuss.
He says Dreyfuss, and
it's spelled Dreyfuss.
No, it's spelled the same as Dreyfuss, as in
Mark's looking to their ceiling again. I'm sorry. We'll carry on.
It must be Dreyfuss. It's like scone and scones. It must be scone, because why would somebody start saying scone? When it's spelt scone.
I say scone, but it's spelt scone, isn't it?
I know it's spelt scone, but why would somebody start saying
it's
scone?
It's Dreyfuss. Have you never heard of, I think it's called the Dreyfuss Incident, which was a very famous political thing in the States, and it's definitely Dreyfuss.
Okay.
And also Richard Dreyfuss is Dreyfuss, so it's Dreyfuss.
Well, apparently that's who I look like, is that right?
Only when allegedly. People can't see you properly. as well as referring to my astounding intellect, the owl bit is from Sheffield Wednesday.
Oh,
rather than being a play on my name.
Sorry, don't know football, but Mark, you know football.
Yeah, they're the ones that wear the Tesco value shirts.
Anyway, my family, being all from Sheffield, are all Sheffield Wednesday fans.
Fight.
Really liked the new intro too. Do we get a new random version every time?
Every season.
Oh, that would be Simon's theme, actually.
Yeah,
talking
every
about
season
that.
It'll change.
Yeah, we will do a new theme after every 13 episodes. We figured we'd break it into 13s like the programme.
Yeah.
So we'll do a new theme every 13 episodes. Can there be maybe a full gargled version?
There could be, actually, with harmonies and all kinds going on. Yeah.
It could.
I mean,
could.
Simon could work on that. With the possibility of Mark laughing over the top and JR doing some
tambourine,
some dancing in the background.
You can't dance
to,
on a
to
podcast.
To think I nearly edited out across. The gargling as well. I nearly edited out the gargling.
One other thing he thought he would mention is his awesome wife. We all have awesome wives too, don't we?
Who's awesome wife?
Raph's.
Oh, okay.
I'm still on the...
Sorry. You're talking to me.
She is a queen of the charity shops. Unbelievable the bargain things she's found, including 65 Target books that were about 5 pence each.
Go get.
Sweet.
Starting with the Auton Invasion and going all the way up to Greatest Show in the Galaxy.
She is definitely a keeper.
Definitely. Looking forward to retirement in 25 years because he's not had a chance to read them yet, but he wants to catch up.
They won't take long. It's an hour apiece, I tell you.
Right, my missus got a whole big pile of Doctor Who hardbacks for me for about £8, including, was there one down there, that Ace.
Oh.
And I think Doctor Who Celebration was in there. And
£8?
It's amazing. £8. You can
incredible.
Get sometimes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't have to haggle with the old lady.
She nearly had a fight with someone as well over some figures. Say.
Yeah. Anyway, we have one more email, not on the subject of Saturdays, and it's from Steve in Manchester, who we love, Steve. So we are going to save your email for next week.
Oh, why is that then?
Just because I am so looking forward to reading it, I am going to defer that pleasure.
Oh, what a tease you are.
Also because he's the guy who, if you remember, came up with the funny intros, like the David Tennant burping on his so that we didn't have to.
Yeah.
And he's come up with about another half a dozen. So you guys are going to have to wait.
Oh, that's...
You've got 7 days.
Why tell us?
Because it was there in front of me and I couldn't help myself. Right, I don't need those. So, that Saturday feeling. No, before we move on to the subject of that Saturday feeling, and this show is about that Saturday feeling, which is your childhood experiences of watching Doctor Who, rather than the Doctor Who stories themselves that you're watching.
Mm-hmm.
As in, you know, where you watched it, how you watched it, who you watched it with, and whether it was beans on toast or sausage sandwiches.
Oh, yeah.
Which is very important. I mean,
it is.
You know, when you were a kid, watching Doctor Who,
it is.
What you were eating at the time, very important part of the experience.
I think that's what I actually put up on one of the threads.
Yeah.
On our radio show.
It's all on.
But I mean, I did put up what did you eat as well. It's all very important, I think.
But before we go there, I would like to make a request to our listeners. We put up on our Facebook page, we asked for people's ideas for themes for shows that we could do in the future.
Mm-hmm. And
we
had several good ideas. Ones. Brilliant ones.
Good ideas,
we had several good ideas, but one of them in particular was asking for feedback from the listeners. So I thought we'd do that one first. We'll bring it up now and we'll get that one sorted out. And it was Suki.
Or Sucky.
Sucky.
Yeah. Okay. Sucky Kak. Or
Sucky
no.
Kark.
Let's go with Suki Kark, all right?
We've had enough trouble about this one already.
So, Suki said, why not do a show? He had heard another podcast, not on the subject of Doctor Who, where they just asked for people to send in questions, random questions on any subject.
What a great idea.
And the podcast hosts would just attempt to answer their questions, whatever they were.
Yeah, thanks for that one, mate.
But I think they should have a Doctor Who twist every answer.
No, that's what I'm saying. This was a podcast he was listening to that had nothing to do with Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Right, we should do one show, just one show, where we invite our listeners just to send in random questions with a Doctor Who twist.
Oh, okay, I thought you meant random questions. Then we have to make it a Doctor Who twist. So it's like, oh, cornettos, aren't they great? Okay, right.
Well, if somebody wants...
Peter Davison once had a cornetto in 1984.
Well, if somebody wants
he missed
to...
and hit his eye or something.
Okay, if somebody wants to send in a random question without a Doctor Who twist, we'll give that one to you, Lee, and you can bring the Doctor Who twist to it.
Okay, it'll be a lie, but hey.
But, you know, I put this up this afternoon. We've already had a couple of questions.
Okay.
So let's do that. Just, if you're listening, just email blueboxpodcast@yahoo.co.uk or look up our Facebook page, Blue Box Podcast on Facebook or whatever. Get in touch with us. Give us a random question. Anything. It can be to do with the behind the scenes or the production or the fiction itself. It can be random. It can be silly. It can be serious. You know, like the Matrix data bank in the old Doctor Who magazine. I guess this
data.
Is
what country are you from?
Data.
Thank data. You. Yes.
Whatever.
Scone.
It's not important. It's not an English word anyway, is it? So, anyway, moving roughly along because I don't know what I'm talking about. Just send us questions, random questions, as many questions as possible, and we'll do a show on this. You've got about a week and a half to send them in. I guess, from when you're hearing this, as long as you're hearing this pretty soon after it goes out. Because we normally record on Thursdays, so we'll give it till the Thursday a week after the show.
We'll be posting that up as well.
There's nothing to say. If there's any lagging behind questions, we could always answer them in other podcasts.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
but let's try and get like as many questions
together. Nice big load of questions.
Yeah. And, you know, on whatever kind of subject.
Yeah, make us think.
So,
change
sugar.
Well, let's get back to that Saturday.
Nothing on Silver Nemesis, please.
I think we covered that pretty well, if they want to direct the questions specifically at which member of the team they're on.
Oh,
somebody's got a droopy microphone.
My microphone just attacked me.
And that's not the first time tonight either.
Right.
That Saturday feeling. Lee, tell me something.
What would you like to know?
Where did you used to watch Doctor Who?
I watched it in my house. In Parkstone, in Poole, in Dorset, Council House.
Did you have like a sort of ritual on the day itself?
It was, for a while. I think towards the end of the 70s and a couple of years of Peter Davison, the family would all sit around and watch it.
But did
so
you...
older brother, me, and my young brother's too young to really get
but
into
But what
that.
I'm getting at as well is, apart from the 25 minutes when Doctor Who was on, was there kind of a Saturday ritual that Doctor Who was a part of? Because I know people talk about the fact that Doctor Who's part of, you know, the BBC's strongest Saturday night lineup, and people used to watch it as part of all these other programmes. But in my house, we didn't used to watch it as part of a sort of... Oh, what's the word I'm looking for? a program of programs. We used to watch it as part of, you know, a series of events that mostly didn't have to do with the telly that I'll get around to in a bit. There, okay. You know, there was a certain Saturday thing.
I mean, there were the football scores, I think. Basil Brush, possibly.
Yeah, but
stuff like, hang on, there was, it's very important because you start with something and then it keeps going. You had, Doctor Who. What was after Doctor Who? And there was light entertainment shows.
Jim Will Fix It and all those.
Duke
Street, I remember being on for a while.
Yeah.
It's been gone for forever.
The whole point of that Saturday evening for a long, long time was that you get the family in front of the TV and had been for years, 20, 30 years, I think, ever since TVs came out. They wanted to get everybody around the TV solidly for a Saturday night and keep them there. Yeah. And so you would have something for the little kids, you'd have something for the dads, something for the mums, whatever, and it would go throughout the entire evening.
Yeah, but that's really not what I'm asking. That's the opposite.
But that was
of what
the
I'm
ritual.
Asking. Yes, but I'm saying
our TV
prior
ritual.
To sitting down in front of the telly, was there like a Saturday thing you did?
Yeah, we all danced around with Cornish pasties on.
Right, moving along to Simon. Now, okay, let's go to an email. We've got a bunch of emails on this subject.
Shopping.
Loads. So let's do an email. Gary Davison, we've heard from Gary Davison before, excellent. Hi again, guys. How I watched the show has changed over the years. As a child, around 73, 74 onwards, I'd watch at my grandmother's, as both my parents worked on a Saturday, and I recall the football results seeming to take an age to finish before settling down on the rug in front of my granddad, who seemed to delight in helping the show scare the bejesus out of me. He would chant along with the monks who summon the Metabilis spiders, for example. We heard about this before last time Gary emailed in, didn't we? Gary says, I always associate the show with being there and my nan making me cheese on toast, Battenberg cake and a cup of tea. Mm-hmm. That was more what I was trying to get at.
Well, I've got two places. I've also got my nan's.
Yeah, no, but I'm talking about the things you ate.
Yeah,
the things you associate.
I'll get there.
Yeah, the associations.
The associations are massive. There's all kinds of associations. My nan's house and my nan's boyfriend, who we called our uncle. And this is very important to me.
Oh, yes.
Uncle Len.
I had one of those when I was a kid as well.
He's a lovely guy. And, you know, that was very important, that whole setup of going around and being with them. Because we were left on our own, my mum and dad would do whatever they did. In fact, I've never asked them what they did on a Saturday night when I was with my nan, but they went off.
I think the three of us can guess.
And I'd sit there, and Metal Mickey would start up, and we'd sit there and...
Metal Mickey? That's ITV?
Yeah, Metal Mickey. And then you could swap over to Doctor Who, I think, at that point. And I'd sit down with my tape recorder, okay? Well, my nan's tape recorder, actually, which we still have somewhere.
Oh,
and you press record with the old BASF. And you'd record the Doctor Who
Chromium
episode.
Other brands of tape are no longer available.
And, you know, I'd play it over and over and over again until I knew it off pat. And I did the same with V, actually, as well, when that came on. But it's just, yeah, I know. But that's what you do. You have a tape recording, you put it in front of the team. And I had told my nan and the dogs to shush because it had to be recorded.
We should do a show, actually, sometime, not too distant future. Other sci-fi shows we used to watch growing up. Mm. Sort of associated shows.
But my uncle Len used to eat digestive biscuits with chutney on, which I thought was disgusting. But I shared with him.
My special uncle.
Just making this up as he goes along now.
I'm not, it's the truth.
My special uncle that I used to meet at my nan's house used to change his face every 6 weeks.
What was he, the doctor?
he changed his name as well, of course. It was a different fella, Lee.
Okay.
She kept changing the fella.
I'm in the land of science fiction.
Gary carries on and says, today, watching the show is an event. Oh no, I've missed one. Later during Davison, then Baker and McCoy, I'd watch in my bedroom at home while trying to record it on my trusty top-loading Betamax machine.
Oi.
Yeah.
Old school.
Today, watching the show is again an event, one that mustn't be disturbed, so the V Plus is set to series link, the kids, still too young to watch. Daughter's 3 years old and son's 11 months. I'm not entirely sure that's too young. Can you ever be too young for Doctor Who?
Yeah.
I know, I was being facetious.
You can.
They're fed, washed, watered and put to bed in good time to reduce the delay in viewing the latest episode. Do we actually, you know, moving on slightly, but we can come back to things. Do we watch the shows now as they go out live, or do we record them and maybe watch them
wherever
half an
possible,
hour later?
Yeah.
The first 4 years, we watched them on the Saturday.
Yeah, no, I mean now, literally
I'm talking about now, right? The first 4 years when it came back in 2005, from, I think, how long has it been on?
No,
6, 7
like
years?
This year.
That's what I'm trying to say. In the last 2 years, including this year and now, if you really want to be right now.
That's what I'm getting to.
Oh, God. All right, no.
That's what I'm saying.
I was trying to give you a story, but if you want a straight answer,
I
can give you
a straight answer.
Yes and no answer tonight.
The straight question is, now that everybody's got Sky Plus or whatever, Virgin,
no.
On demand, now that we all have access to on demand, do we watch the show live?
No. If I can, I will.
Yeah, wherever possible, I will.
Yeah.
I pretty
but
much
usually
always
isn't
watch
practical.
It about half an hour behind. We usually eat and then watch it after. We don't watch it while we eat. Now, that's what I was trying to get to. Now that you've got on demand, do you still watch it live?
I don't watch on demand.
You watch it live?
No.
Well, how do you watch it?
I watch it when it comes on a DVD.
Betamax.
You don't watch any of
the
episodes?
The last of the last series I didn't watch live, I think bar one, Vampires of Venice.
That was the one before.
Yeah, well, it must be two then. All of Matt Smith's I've watched on DVD when it's come out.
You don't buy their vanillas?
No, I work in a library and get it for free. Sorry, reduced rate.
But you really haven't seen those episodes until weeks and weeks later?
No.
Wow.
Seriously, I don't do it. And that was what I was trying to get to. That's where it suddenly changed.
Yeah, but I didn't want to know about RTD because, you know, Sky Plus and what have you was still
no, but it was a family
uncommon
thing. We all sat around and I made sure that we all sat around and it was really cool.
We're all moving away from
the last couple of years. Well, because I didn't... It doesn't feel like it's worth sitting in front of the TV on Saturday night to give up my whole world for. That's how it hasn't hit me as hard as the RTD.
So that was Lee's last appearance on the Blue Box.
I've just felt validated.
I absolutely and utterly love absolutely and utterly love Matt Smith, and I do like a lot of his era. But I had to, I think what it was is I watched Impossible Astronaut as well and Day of the Moon probably next to each other, Sunday-ish or whatever, on repeat, just about. And then I thought, do you know, this is going to be too big for me to follow. So I just wait. So I waited. Watched it on DVD.
That is just so not right.
Yeah. I couldn't handle that.
Simon, you're in charge. You can turn his microphone off. Anyway, we're still on Gary's email, and I've got another 2.5 pages of emails after this, so let's carry
on.
We were talking about watching on delay, weren't we? Gary says, didn't get to see the end of time till nearly midnight as my daughter was teething and screamed pretty much through the whole of Christmas night.
That's awful. Do watch the Christmas episodes live, though.
Oh, you've got to watch the Christmas episodes live, even if they're rubbish. Whilst a text to friends and family or a Facebook post warns people not to call and spoil his enjoyment. The Christmas specials are still tricky, as we're usually away with family. Who, for some reason, don't want to watch the show live and in silence.
Thank you.
Insane. No, that's just not right at all. Oh, here's one that I'm going to go straight to because I want to bring something up after this. Jenny, our Blue Box 99er from Twitter.
She's great.
Hello, Jenny.
Hello, Jenny. Shirt. And that would be her full name. I used to wait eagerly for Jim Will Fix It and Doctor Who in the 70s when I was growing up. The ice cream van always used to come round on a Saturday night, and we used to have a 99 ice cream as a treat, hence my Twitter name.
Ah.
Blue Box, as I love Doctor Who and the Blue Box podcast, although, oddly enough, she was called Blue Box before we started the Blue Box podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So
we nicked it from her.
I might have added that little last bit in myself. And 99 represents ice cream from when I watched Doctor Who as a child. Mm-hmm. I always watch sitting on the floor with a cushion.
Peter. Was it Peter's cushion? The 99 ice cream van came outside our door, and it was always, I feel like it was always, it probably wasn't, but it was always, as the Doctor Who theme was playing, it felt like it was playing at the same time.
Well, this
it was like it was timed.
Or the ice cream van had a really strange tune.
So, yeah, so it's like, do I go and get an ice cream or do I sit and watch Doctor Who? I just watch Doctor Who.
I know someone who told his kids that when the ice cream van was playing its music, that meant the guy had run out of ice cream, so they couldn't buy one.
Oh, that's just nasty.
Evil.
That's horrible. Yeah. I think I'll try that money.
I believed him for years.
I always used to tell people that when the ice cream van's music was playing, somebody had died somewhere, like a granddad, and the ice cream van was hurrying along to bring them ice creams to cheer them up.
Oh, that's even more twisted.
I didn't really. I just said that to try and out-twist Mark.
You can tell he's a writer.
Never have said anything
Every
like that.
Every line is a lie.
No, the reason why I wanted to bring up Jenny's before I talked about my own memories of watching Doctor Who is because we did have, like, Saturday in our household, obviously, the only day of the week when you don't have school, and you don't have school the next day either. Sundays was always a bit of a blue day because it was back to school. But Saturday is the one day when you're completely free. Yeah. No school and no school the following day. So Saturday's great. Loved Saturdays. And Doctor Who was just like the icing on the cake. Mm. But so we'd always go out on a Saturday afternoon, my brother and me. And this was at a time when you still could let a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old go running up and down the road without having to worry about their safety, within reason. So we'd just go out and play for the afternoon. At 4 o'clock, Mr. Tiggy came to call.
What?
I thought you'd like that. Mr. Tiggy was our ice cream man.
Oh, that's a relief.
This was in Sheffield. Any of you listening in Sheffield, I think this was like a Sheffield thing, the Mr. Tiggy brand. But it was like a sort of homemade ice cream as opposed to just like a generic brand ice cream. It was
a bit
gorgeous.
Like the child catcher from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yeah. Well, that's what I've made it just sound like, but it wasn't actually
Invasion
like
of the
that.
Bane with ice cream.
It was a nice ice cream treat at 4 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. Mm. We'd run around for about 2 or 3 hours, me and my kid brother. The ice cream man would come. We'd hear the ice cream man. We'd run home. He'd stop more or less right outside our house. Mum would pop out, buy us an ice cream. Then we'd sit in the back garden eating the ice creams. And, a little while after that, we'd come in, sausage sandwiches and Doctor Who. And then afterwards, I'd go and stand in the kitchen for 10 minutes, shivering in case Davros was around.
Hiding in the refrigerator. What time was Doctor Who on when you were...
Well, we're talking late Pertwee and early Tom Baker. And I think it was probably around 5:15.
Half past five. How long does it take for an ice cream van to get from Sheffield to Dorset? Because he did turn up while the theme was playing, so could have been the same one.
Not Mr. Tiggy. I think I've just explained that was exclusive to Sheffield.
Yeah, we had Popeye. He used to play Popeye the Sailor Man. Not that I ever got to hear it properly.
Oh, I tell you what, we're not going to disappoint Steve from Manchester that much because I've got a nice long email from him here about Saturdays as well. But before we get on to that, Mark, tell me a bit about your Saturdays watching Doctor Who.
Well,
that's enough. Right.
Yeah, okay.
Joke.
No, for me, talking about like food, bringing back memories and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd have like your mum's classic homemade cottage pie.
On a Saturday?
Yeah. Boiled. And then if you've been really good and had all your food and what have you, space dust.
Oh,
yes.
Space dust.
Yeah.
I remember having space dust for you, Doctor.
Yeah.
You had to do it.
I bet you weren't allowed to have it. I bet you were running around like a blue...
Space dust. Is that the sort of fizzy pops on the tongue stuff?
Yeah, but at the time it was awesome. So new.
Yeah.
My brother got a bag from from some school trip, and it didn't even have a label on it. It's just a bag of the stuff. And he goes, "Have some of this sherbet, late," and I put a whole load in my mouth and nearly killed myself. But but I was like, wow, this really does come from space.
Little black packets.
Yeah, it was awesome.
But the thing that astonishes me is you had that as dessert.
Well, no, it wasn't. No, you'd go down the shops, wouldn't you, on a Saturday. You'd have your pocket money, you'd buy loads of old rubbish.
A lump of sugar.
What else did you've just brought up something. What would you spend your pocket money on as a kid?
Oh, you get comics and
Marvel comics.
Yeah. Wanted stickers. Do you remember them? Nobody remembers those.
Wanted stickers.
Wanted, they were called.
Wanted, yes.
Wanted,
yes,
do
I do.
Wanted
yes,
stickers?
I do. Yeah. You'd get ones which were actually card and you get some that were actually stickers.
Yeah. They were like the old Western Wanted stickers, but they had different characters on.
Yeah.
But they were the Western characters or were they?
Does anyone remember the long packs of tattoos?
Yes.
And you just get this sheet just full of these amazing illustrations.
Mm. And you tattoo them on your skin?
Yeah, with water.
Right.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, but there was in the same shop we had that, and we had the transfers. There were some action transfers that you could buy with lots of different scenarios.
I remember those.
I absolutely adored those, and I bought some twice because I wanted to do slightly different scenes.
Yeah, that was the thing with those. You stuck them on, and then they were stuck. They're not like fuzzy felt where you could take them off and move them to somewhere else.
So if you go and buy about two or three of them, you can have millions of
them. Who remembers the letter set with issue one of Doctor Who Weekly? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. I would say sod the computer games. If you're Marvel Enterprises, Marvel Assemble, Avengers Assemble, fuzzy felt. That's what the world needs now.
Fuzzy felt.
What the world needs now is fuzzy felt.
Marvel's Assemble. Right, okay.
And moving swiftly along.
Can you cut that bit and put it at the end?
I think we've already got something for the end, haven't we? I don't know if you ever do this, listeners, but if you stay with our theme music right to the very end of the programme, there will occasionally be a little treat, I use the word treat advisedly, at the end there, after the end of the music. Usually something that Simon has just randomly found and decided to pop in there. He's just staring blankly at me now.
He's got a very smug look on his face.
Yeah, there's a plan.
Matt Barber, who is in...
Nerdology.
Who's got their mobile? We don't care about Nerdology. He's here in Exeter podcast. With us.
Nice plug.
Episode somewhere. 7.
Somebody's mobile is squirting at us. Who is that?
Is it?
Who's got their mobile near their mic?
Sorry.
For God's sake.
Go on, you carry on.
It's not mine, because mine sings to me.
My job as producer to...
Mine does sing to me. Slap. I've mentioned it now. Shall I get it to sing for the listener?
Go on then.
Hang on. Press the wrong
button. Hi, there is £2,000 waiting in your name. It's compensation for the accident you had. No, it isn't.
That one.
That's you singing on your own ringtone. That's an ego thing going on there.
It's not ego. It's evil. Anyway, that's my... Yeah, but
face of evil.
Yeah, but when that goes off on the bus, nobody else gets up and starts fiddling around thinking, that's my mobile phone.
Nobody would dare. Go on then.
But most people do get up and get off at the next stop.
Anyway, back to Matt.
Matt Barber from Exeter says, hi, here's my childhood memory of Doctor Who. And this actually, I think he slightly got the wrong impression, and this goes back a bit to early memories. But, yeah, you know, it's still on the same subject, It's still valid. My first memory, not just of television, but of life, was the cliffhanger to episode 1 of City of Death. That's like nearly everybody in this room, isn't it? Mm. When Julian Glover tears off his face to reveal the alien underneath. I was too young then to remember anything other than... what occurred on the screen. But I must have been sitting in my living room with my brother and between my parents. The significance of this to my life is extraordinary, not least because I am in the rare position of being able to pinpoint my very first memory to the date and time it occurred. 29th September 1979 at 18:25. It also caused... Sorry, somebody just walked past the window then and I... Very scary. I spooked. I'm just trying to read this email. Stop walking past. It also caused my parents to ban me from watching Doctor Who, which means my next memory of the series had to wait until the Melker in The Keeper of Traken in January 1981. Mm. That is just
a great episode. That's a shame, isn't it?
Did that happen?
To be honest, he didn't miss much.
Oh, he missed Nightmare of Eden.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nightmare of Eden hoodies.
Warrior's Gate. And he missed State of Decay.
That's all right.
And he missed Full Circle.
Adric.
And he missed Creature from the Pit.
I like that.
And he missed the Horns of Nyman.
Yeah.
And we all miss Shada. I'll get to the end of the email, then I'll turn around and ask. He says, my memory of that moment in City of Death stayed with me and fed my desire to find out more about the series, partly out of a fascination with the macabre and weird, partially out of a need to exorcise the fear of the moment. From that point, I was simultaneously drawn to Doctor Who and repulsed by it, a paradox that set the foundation for a lifetime of fandom.
Hey, indeedy.
I think that's...
He's a very eloquent chap, isn't he?
Yeah,
very
cheers,
eloquent.
Matt.
Very eloquent, yeah.
And so is his talking voice quite so eloquent, Mark?
It is, yeah. You can hear it on Nerdology episode 7.
And have
available from iTunes.
So if we go on iTunes and type out the word Nerdology, we will find an episode in which you talk to Matt Barber.
Indeed.
Oh, brilliant. Meanwhile, back on the Blue Box podcast...
Jealous.
What do you mean jealous? Well, who's the subject of the very first ever Nerdology, Mark?
Some bloke, I can't even remember his name now.
You were actually interviewing somebody, weren't you?
Yeah.
And who was the person you were interviewing?
Some
northern bloke.
Yeah.
Right, getting back to Max. Has anybody here either A, been banned from watching Doctor Who because they were too scared by it, or B, removed themselves from the room ever because it was too scary?
Yes.
Yes and no.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Yes to the second question.
You have removed yourself from the room.
Yeah.
And what was the story? And what was it that scared you?
Oh, I can't remember.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
That puts an end to that, doesn't it? But I, it sounds corny, but I did literally watch Doctor Who from behind the sofa. Both myself and my sister.
Nice.
Did you watch it from behind your sister as well as the sofa?
Was your sister older or younger?
Older. 4 years older.
Your sister was 4 years older and she was watching behind the sofa.
We're talking early, though. We are talking early Tom Baker stuff. I mean, as I said in a previous podcast, my
she wasn't behind the sofa at the same time as you were.
And I would have been three. Planet of the Spiders.
Oh, okay. So you were both behind the sofa together. That's what I'm trying to get.
Yes.
Oh.
And I specifically, well, I know we're not supposed to talk episodes and what, but Genesis of the Daleks, because Davros, I thought,
we can
was
talk
the,
episodes.
Davros was
out.
The scariest thing, and he was the thing that lived with me. So when he turned up,
he lived with you?
Well,
did he have a bunk?
I thought he lived with me. That's why
stairs,
I would go to the kitchen every night and look for him.
It wasn't your nan's uncle, was it?
Well, it did look a little alike. And I'm not going any further with that.
I'd love to see Davros in an ice cream van. It'd be brilliant, wouldn't it?
He'd have to have a ramp, wouldn't he?
I don't know. It's just the image. I've got nothing else with that. Sorry.
To hold in my hands the ice cream.
He'd have to have a ramp up the back of a Citroen Berlingo or something, wouldn't he?
Citroen Berlingo. Random car.
And with my ice cream, I will have that power.
What a screwball.
Dalek death ray.
I said, surely.
Yes. Yes.
Mint flavour.
Mm.
Green lollies.
Chocolate. I don't remember
green
that.
And brown lollies, weren't they? Were they green
they were,
on the outside and brown on the inside?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because normally you get the chocolate on the outside and the mint on the inside, right? Yeah. But these had the mint on the outside and the chocolate on the inside, didn't they? Is that
were they green on the outside and chocolate on the inside?
Yeah, which was like an unusual
twist. You know what?
Twist.
I couldn't work it out until you said it, and it's just popped in my head now after all those years.
Which is what?
The colour, you know, what was first.
Green on the outside and brown. Yeah, because most ice creams would do it the other way around.
Wouldn't they?
I mean, you look at Magnum, you don't have the chocolate down the middle and the ice cream around it. It's the other way around.
That was
like a really sort of Doctor Who-y thing to do, wasn't it? To sort of twist it just by putting it the opposite way to what, you know, normality.
I feel like I've
missed
out now. Wow, and really exciting lolly wrappers as well.
And also the advert that they used to play on the telly is on one of the DVDs, isn't it?
It is really funny.
I think so. Yeah. It was they started during Patrick Troughton's tenure, but they were around for a good few years because I remember them in the 70s as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, till quite late in the 70s, I think.
Yeah, I reckon. Lee, you're going to tell us about either being banned or removing yourself from watching Doctor Who.
No and yes. So no wasn't banned ever from it. My parents didn't watch zombie movies at whatever age, didn't matter. But I was petrified of Doctor Who in the 70s.
Even though you sat through zombie movies?
No, not at the same time. What I mean is a couple of years after I was a bit older, even though you're not supposed to watch zombie movies at 12, 13, I watched them anyway. And they weren't worried about it. And it turns out I turned out all right.
Do you remember what it was that was too scary for you?
Yeah, Robots of Death.
Oh,
we talked about that before. Yeah. So
please don't throw hands at me.
Which is my favourite line in the whole of the history of Doctor Who.
Oh, my God. Here's the thing. The guy who did that, I think he's called Gregory DePaulnay. And I am like 99% sure that he was employed by Lloyd's Bank or the people who do the voiceovers for Lloyd's Bank to do the... Can number 99 please go to the next teller, please? Because I was standing in Lloyd's Bank once, not as a customer, but as the postman waiting for something to get signed. And all of a sudden, D84 is in the speaker right above my head asking the next customer to go to teller number E or whatever it was.
Oh, it'd be great just to slip in. Please don't throw hands at me.
That was a spooky moment, though, standing in Lloyd's Bank and hearing D84. Very spooky. It must have been him. It was him.
That was the episode that didn't send me behind a sofa as such. It sent me into the kitchen and I looked through the slit in the door. That was, I was talking about that, wasn't I? And And the Daleks did frighten me as well. I had nightmares about Daleks because my room was on the back of the house. The back of the house looked out on the wreck, which was just this big hill. And I couldn't see over the hill, so I always imagined the Dalek spaceship coming over the top and Daleks coming over the top at me, along with dinosaurs for some reason.
Just Mark quickly and Simon quickly.
Yeah.
Strong memories from when you were a kid of Daleks. Did Daleks, is that something that sort of like really sort of captures your imagination, stays with you?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, think Destiny you would perhaps have.
Yeah, just about.
And about. Simon, do you, I mean.
Davros more than the Daleks. Because, I mean, if you think about the 70s as a period, very little Daleks anyway, wasn't there?
Because
I literally had Genesis and Destiny.
Destiny was the one that made me dream.
Well, obviously right. With me it was Planet of the Daleks, but I'm pretty sure when I was watching Planet of the Daleks that I already knew what the Daleks were, although I'd perhaps already actually seen Day of the Daleks the year before. But what I'm saying is I knew what the Daleks were. There were some things that, I mean, when you first saw your first Dalek story, did you already know what the Daleks were?
Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
I think it's one of those things. No, I didn't know. I thought they were robots.
I think it's one of those.
No, I mean, had you already heard of the Daleks?
Through my brother collecting Target books and God knows
right.
what.
Right, yeah.
I do wonder whether someone I had a toy Dalek, like a wind-up one or something.
Or you'd have kids at school on the playground.
were there red ones?
Like yeah.
Red ones with black spots was a...
Hang on, two conversations. Oh, red one with black spots. Yeah. It got lost in a house move and I have a replica of it now.
Right.
I'll bring it next time.
Sorry, Mark, what were you saying?
Well, I'll put a photo up on there. Yes, go on, Mark.
The kids in the school playground playing at Daleks.
Yeah.
I was just saying, I absolutely knew what the Daleks were before I saw them on the telly for the first time. And I think, as we've just established.
It was already part of the popular culture, wasn't it, at that point?
Well, we will do an episode at some point in the future because one of the things that comes up on internet forums time after time is people saying, oh, I'm bored of the Daleks, get rid of them. No, because you're like 38 years old. The Daleks are for the 5, 6, and 7-year-olds who are watching Doctor Who for the first time.
Mm.
We've never seen the Daleks before. We will do an episode on that. But yeah. I think that was, you know, I think we've just established, you know what the Daleks are.
Do you remember in department stores in the 70s, there were security cameras on the ceiling that looked like a little dome?
Oh, upside down Daleks.
Yeah, and we used to call them Daleks.
You still get them now.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. In the streets, watching us as we walk down the road, holding vegetables. Can I just quickly on the subject of the Daleks, and also the fact that you mentioned, you know, was I aware of the Daleks before seeing them in Destiny? I don't remember Genesis of the Daleks. I probably may have seen it, but I don't remember it. But around about that time, between the two episodes, I was bought a Dalek for Christmas, and it was and it actually spoke and it moved around. It must have been battery operated. I can't remember what type it was, but it did go exterminate, you know. And I was so petrified of that Christmas present, which means 6, 7, that they had to give it back to the shop. I was that scared of that thing.
Mm.
And that was just from a tiny little... I know.
I had a moment like that when I was in my 40s.
Where's your diaper? Right.
No, you have to hear this story because this put the shit on me.
Beep.
Like I say, I used to have this red with the black spots talking Dalek when I was a kid, and we lost it in a house move. And years later, my mum bought me one as a birthday present. And she didn't know what colour to get, and she just happened to get the same colours as I'd had when I was a kid. So, one day, I think the next door neighbour had been around, and his kid had been playing with it, and she had bust the button on the top that you press to make it talk. Only I hadn't realised this. Obviously, the button had become slightly depressed, right? So, not that. Oh, you know this story, don't you, Mark?
Well.
You've heard this story before. Are you?
That's okay. It's just Mark was a bit far away from the
Okay. Oh, no. Yeah. Yes, Mark. If you're going to answer somebody's question, don't be leaning back in your chair.
I'm sorry. I was just enjoying reminiscing about the story.
The button on the Dalek had become depressed. Although I hadn't been aware of this, so I had not known that there was a problem with the Dalek. So, after the kid and the next door neighbour had gone home, I had taken the Dalek and I put it on the windowsill in the bedroom, which was sort of tucked away and out of the way, and, you know, was where it lived. On the windowsill in the bedroom. Right, you've got to imagine this is during the colder time of the year. And you also have to imagine that
like someone out of Close Encounters.
That the battery on the Dalek is starting to run down a bit. Now I'm asleep in bed. It's 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning when the cold on the windowsill has shrunk the metal strip that the button depresses to the extent where it made the connection. And this Dalek, whose battery was running down and was no longer capable of speech, at 3 o'clock in the morning suddenly started going on my windowsill. I have to say, I absolutely myself.
It's like a poltergeist moment, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, his lights were flashing as well on the windows. So it's like I'm waking up at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, having had like maybe 3 hours sleep. So I'm not with it anyway. And there's this Dalek screaming at me with its lights going off on the windowsill right in front of me.
Great pussy.
Anyway, what were we talking about?
I was going to say that as a over a long period of time, there was definitely a gap in my viewing where to the point where I would watch an episode at the start and then stop watching because it was scaring me too much. And there was that lull where you're so young, but you're scared, but you're enjoying being scared. And then you reach that age where you start to think about things a bit more and you think, actually, I don't want to do this anymore.
Oh, really?
And so for the latter half of Tom Baker's tenure, I didn't watch it anywhere near as much. Or I tried to, but didn't manage to. And then I came back to it, early 80s, and obviously Peter Davison. So if somebody says, who was your doctor? I'd say Peter Davison, because that was where I literally watched.
Started watching regularly.
Yeah.
I was going to say to you as well, because we've done the Saturday rituals thing, where I was working my way across the room. But was there anything particular about Saturdays that you remember, like the ice cream van?
It's funny hearing people
sandwiches.
Saying about their grandparents' house.
Yeah, was
because
that?
Because I think you would end up at your grandparents' house most Saturdays, or quite a few Saturdays.
But I why? Do remember
that. What were our parents doing?
Parents were sick of us.
We always used to do the grandparents on a Sunday, so I've never associated that with Doctor Who. But obviously, a lot of people do.
Yeah, I do remember watching. In my grandparents' house in Redhill, around there. I can't remember food though. I can't remember any particular.
What kind of wallpaper did they have?
Oh,
flock.
Probably, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Probably, absolutely. It was probably brown, as Mark said. Everything in the '70s was brown,
right?
And very patterned carpets. So I'd sit down there. Thank you. You'd sit on the floor. You'd watch Doctor Who, and your finger would go around the spirals of the carpet. Thank you, Mark.
My God,
yeah.
And also,
that's just kind of a high five. Let's just stretch so we can. Okay, we did it. Yeah.
Oh God, that was like a Michelangelo high five. Hey man, Michelangelo five. Actually, no, it's more of an ET5, isn't it? Hey man, ET5.
Why have you just given me the image of me and Mark in clouds with just a loincloth on, touching each other's fingers?
Because that's how me and Simon spend every week doing this.
How dare you?
Steve from Manchester, also known as Doc Whom.
Oh, hello.
And his blog, the Doc Whom blog.
Yeah, pretty good too.
He put up a blog post about us. A few weeks ago.
He did, and it was very nice. Thank you, Doc Whom.
Yeah, what a bloody sweetheart. To be perfectly honest.
Oh,
obviously, he was just moaning about how rubbish we are, but it was still nice of him to do it.
Fair comment.
So if you want to see exactly how harsh his moans were, just check out Doctor Whom at WordPress. Anyway, he emails to say, as regards actually watching the show, nothing special springs to mind. And then he carries on, and there's about another 400 or 500 words here, of which he recounts the nothing specials that sprung to his mind. The liar. I'm sure that I was watching Doctor Who much earlier than this, but the very first story where I have a clear memory of being sitting in front of the television was The Sea Devils. The old cliche about hiding behind the sofa never held for me, as ours was always pushed right back against the wall, so I wouldn't have been able to fit behind it. That's cruel trick on behalf of the parents,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, that's torture.
You know what I think that's about? I think it's about those parents who like to think they're liberal, but actually a little bit conservative. They don't want to stop their kid from watching Doctor Who, but they don't want their kid watching Doctor Who. So what do? They shove the sofa up against the wall so the kid's got nowhere to hide from the telly, and then the kid will start leaving the room of its own accord.
Well, You got a cushion, obviously.
You got a cushion.
That was mine.
Or it might have just been a very small front room.
My solution to the really scary bits, Steve carries on, was to sit in an armchair with my chin on my knees, hugging a small cushion.
Yeah, there you are.
Yeah, I see.
Yes.
Oh, Nostradamus Mark over there.
When it got too scary, I would just bury my face in the cushion and keep peeping over the edge of it. This must have been a formative experience for me. When the back-to-back double bill of Rose and the End of the World was broadcast in 2005, as the final credits rolled across the screen and I mentally returned to the real world, I found that completely unconsciously I'd been sitting in my armchair with my feet up and hugging a cushion.
Ah.
That's kind of sweet.
It is nice. Nice.
I'd like to film myself watching something so terrifically brilliant like that to see what I look enough. Like, actually. No. Stop it, boy. No, yeah. Seriously. Seriously,
don't.
No. When you sit and you watch something that's so absolutely brilliant, like Back to the Future, I watched the other day, okay, just quickly, and I was on the edge of my seat. We both were, me and my son. I was surprised that I was on the edge of my seat because it's very good tension in the film.
I'm on the edge of my seat now listening to this
story. I would love to film the reaction because I look at my son and he's biting his nails and he's got his, like, you know, that guy, he's got his knees up to his chest and he's really enjoying it. He's like so into it. And I realised I was on the edge of my seat as well. And that must have been, you know, it would be interesting to see how you look
and this
watching
was over
something like
Back
that.
To the Future.
This was over Back to the Future. Not the third one.
I imagine it's a bit like seeing your sex face.
Simon, you've got that on all the time.
Have you never seen your sex face?
No.
Well, obviously you don't have enough cameras around the house. My clearest memories of Doctor Who, Steve carries on, as a child, though, were not so much watching it as what I did. Oh,
no, just carry on, Corker.
Oh, sorry, Lee and Simon have their not sex faces on at the moment.
No, this is it.
We're not so much watching it as what I
Except
did
Mr.
when
B.
the show...
Sorry.
Steve's memories were not so much of watching it as what he did when the show wasn't on to get his Doctor Who fix. There was no internet in those days, no dozens of digital TV channels running Doctor Who on an endless loop. Mm-hmm. The kids of Steve's day had to make their own entertainment. The children of today don't know their ball.
Exactly. We used to throw pine cones at each other in the woods. And
well,
then watch Doctor Who.
Here you go. Here's Steve. My parents used to run a small newsagent, and so several times a year they'd visit a huge wholesale warehouse to stock up on stationery and greetings cards and tobacco and such like. Occasionally, they'd take him along if they couldn't find a babysitter. And while they'd prowl the warehouse, he'd be left to amuse himself in the books section. They had every single Target novelisation stacked on the floor in piles, literally as high as his knees, and all at wholesale prices too, around 25p.
Oh.
What's going on, Lee?
Oh, that just sounds brilliant.
Oh, yeah. Alas, this was also the time that my mother had decided to teach me that money doesn't grow on trees, and so I'd be told that I could only choose one Doctor Who, choose one Target book. Doctor Who as a reason for still resenting your parents in middle age. I reckon there's a Starburst article in that case study. That's not, yes, because, you know, house move, my Weetabix cards, my whole collection of Weetabix cards and packet backs, and my talking Dalek all disappeared in the house move, and that is something for which I've never forgiven my father.
It's true, all my Superman cards went.
Okay.
Where the Star Wars ones are they?
What, your bubblegum cards?
Yeah.
I've still got all mine.
Well, here's interesting. This is an area that I thought we might move into, but we're probably running out of time, so we'll probably move into this in a future episode in a few weeks. But yeah, might as well get it from Steve. For Christmas 1976, my big present was a radio cassette player. Given that this was the 70s, it was as heavy as a brick, and it still works perfectly even today. Mm. So that I'd have something to play on it on Christmas morning, I was also given the audio cassette of Doctor Who and the Pescatons.
Yes.
I must have played that every night for months in
too.
Bed.
Brilliant.
In fact, he says, I found the cassette a few years ago in a cupboard, and despite not having listened to it for about 30 years, he could almost recite the lines word for word when he played it again. Same with the LP of Genesis of the Daleks that he was given a few Christmases later. Every line burned into his memory, though for some reason the most memorable was Nida telling Garman, "Thank you, that's what I wanted to know."
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, that dialogue. Yes, I did want to get into... I thought by the end of this episode, we'd probably be running short on stuff and we could get into things like, you know, the start of the VHS and how the stories seem different when you sort of experience them again afresh a few years later. Mm. But we'll do that. We'll do an episode called maybe Afresh, where we look at how your viewing experience changes between your initial watching of these stories when you're a kid and how do you re-experience them on video or DVD or even in the Target books and things like that.
Like this chap says about, you know, the fact that we didn't have repeats and we didn't have other things.
No.
You know, Doctor Who magazine was one of those things that, you know, fed you
as
a Doctor Who fan, the Target books and the Pescatons as well.
And the Genesis people, LP.
And Genesis. I didn't have the Genesis LP. That was like the Holy Grail. I just didn't have it. But Pescatons I played over and over again. And I have got such a strong visual image of how that story should look. And if anybody ever animated that, I think they should anyway, but if anybody ever animated it, it would not be what was in my head.
That's probably one of the ones that Ian Levine's doing for his sort of...
He plays a flute in it as well, doesn't he? The Doctor, Pat Troughton's flute.
Well, that's because it was written by somebody who had no clue what was going on.
Didn't matter, I loved it.
Steve says, and this is the bit that appeals to me, I can even remember eating extra Weetabix for breakfast. Yuck. Just so that we could get a new box with a new set of Doctor Who cards. He even kept offering to make people cups of tea, which obviously disagreed with him, for the same reason when they had the Doctor Who cards in boxes of PG Tips.
I don't remember that.
Oh yeah. Well, actually it wasn't PG Tips, it was Typhu, wasn't it?
Was it?
I think it was Typhu, I'm pretty sure. Although, you know, maybe it was PG Tips as well. But Steve, you're wrong. It's Typhu. Google it for crying out loud before you email us next time. The other deep childhood Doctor Who memory for me is that our local cinema used to put on special whole afternoon long screenings in the school holidays in the 70s. Do we all have memories of this? Like special children's days?
At
the cinema?
Much later, though, I remember seeing the Spider-Man movies.
Had a cinema in our road, although we were in Sheffield and it was a long road. It was about a mile and a half away, but it was in our road.
We had one in a pub.
And we used to go and see, like, the sort of late 60s sort of creature feature, sort of burying to the centre of the earth.
My best memory like that. I was too young to see Star Wars, which again was something I held against my parents. Quite bitter about that. My brother got to go and see it because he was older than me.
Twice around the block to see that.
But when Empire Strikes Back came out, got to see a double bill Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back.
Nice.
How cool is that? I'd say very cool.
It's quite cool.
Yeah. I remember doing the triple bill.
It's not as cool as the triple bill.
But that was obviously...
December 1977, that's where the cool kids were.
Yeah. Sorry, Mark.
Do people know this? Everybody always thinks of Star Wars as like a summer 77 film, but in England, it took 6 or 7 months.
It did, yeah. No, it's a 78 thing, wasn't it?
It turned up Christmas 77, basically.
Mm.
And on the Christmas holidays in 77, we had just moved to Devon and we'd gone back up to Sheffield to visit relatives. And we were staying up there for a few days. And we queued twice around the block at the Rex in Sheffield to watch Star Wars.
Yeah.
And we missed the first showing, but we were at the front of the queue then for the second showing.
Yeah.
So we actually got to watch the evening one when we'd gone up for the afternoon one.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know if it's an urban myth, Star Wars was a film that stopped them from doing that repeated showings, wasn't it? Because people just stayed in the cinema.
Yeah. Oh, could well be, actually. You used to be able to stay because you used to sometimes walk in halfway through a film.
Exactly, yeah.
And then watch the first half of the next one and leave at the point where you'd picked it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I ended up seeing Watership Down twice in a row.
Yeah.
That's not very good for a kid to watch twice in a row. It's only because my granddad was late picking us up.
Sinbad and the Eye of the Tiger. I remember going in, seeing the end of it, and then watching the rest of it.
And Eye of the Tiger.
No.
We have no more singing on any other episode of the podcast after today. As I promised, ladies and gentlemen,
Jesus.
Not one that we're probably going to keep. We'll try and make the promise. Finally, there's about a sentence left out of Steve's email. Going back to the cinema at the childhood... one that they nearly always seem to have on would start the afternoon by screening an entire black and white Buster Crab Flash Gordon series.
brilliant.
Sweet.
Followed by both Peter Cushing Dalek films back to back. He must have seen that Doctor Who double bill more than 10 times. I love the... Well, we'll do a podcast on the films.
Yeah,
those
yeah,
two,
yeah,
we and we'll talk about...
She did commentaries on them.
By Sugar Puff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
We should do commentaries on the films.
Yeah, we could do that as well as an extra.
Mm. Maybe. I don't like the idea of doing commentaries for this podcast, to be honest.
No. You know, you wanted to ask about food. connected with watching Doctor Who.
Sugar Puffs.
I remember now that my mum worked at a bakery as a cleaner, right? I thought she was more important than that, but she worked at a bakery as a cleaner. Bakery.
When you say she was a cleaner, do you mean to say that the staff who weren't working very hard, she got sent in to take them out?
Yeah, like Leon. But the cleaner. She went in and she cleaned, and they were getting rid of all the cakes. So she'd bring home a box of all the most special cakes you could possibly imagine. We didn't have a lot of money in our day.
You thought they were special, but obviously they were the ones that nobody wanted.
They were just chocolate eclairs and all that sort of stuff. But to us in the 70s, that was like nectar. That was like gold, And I remember sitting there just eating these things every weekend throughout the Horns and Nymon.
but
not beyond and not before. So she must have only had that job for 4 weeks. Sorry, mum.
And on that note, I just bashed my head against the microphone for a bit.
Not for the first time.
I was going to tell my Weetabix story. Did I tell that? Did I tell that before when we were doing the podcast before?
Tell it again.
I suppose people may not have heard it. When the second series of Weetabix cards, each series of the Weetabix cards, they did them a year apart, where there were six different sets of four cards. And we had a Weetabix. And, you know, it could take you a while to get through a box of Weetabix. So collecting these cards could take months. But the second series they did, we bought the second box that we bought, didn't have any cards in it. So my mum wrote to Weetabix. She wrote to Weetabix and said, oh, we just bought a box of Weetabix with no cards in. And they sent the entire lot by way of compensation.
And then they got lost.
And shot themselves in the foot because we didn't like Weetabix either. And we only ate Weetabix when there were Doctor Who cards in there. So we went back to cornflakes.
Very nice with jam and clotted cream on, though, I have to say.
I hope the guy who was in charge of Weetabix back in 1976 or 77 is not listening to this
podcast. Did you just hear what Simon said?
What did he say?
You eat Weetabix dry with jam on and clotted cream.
People eat Weetabix in all sorts of different ways.
Mental. That's not right. Nah, you eat it with milk or nothing else. The serving suggestion in the 70s was with milk. Not none of this flouncy strawberries and yogurt.
The servant's suggestion, and you were just trying to tell us you had an impoverished child. Incredible. Well, that was our show on the Saturday feeling. I think if anybody else listened to this who didn't email in before but would like to, why not? We can always come back to this subject, we can just read your emails out at the top of other shows. Why not? If you've got something that
I think it needs a part two. I really do, because we've only
scratched the surface, really.
Absolutely.
But if we've triggered something in your memory and you want to bring it to our attention, email us at blueboxpodcast@yahoo.co.uk or find us on Facebook, the Blue Box Podcast. We have a page. Or just find one of us on Twitter. We're not that hard to find. Most of us go by our real names. And even if we don't go by our real names, Twitter still tells you what it is these days anyway, isn't it?
Mm.
So you just.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Did I just say, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so chavvy.
Twitter tells us what it is, isn't it? Come on in.
Oh, I'm so Devon. Right, okay. Okay, so I was JR.
I was Lee.
I was Mark.
I was Simon.
And next time we'll be talking, and probably for quite some considerable time, about John Nathan Turner. Bye-bye now.
You can contact us by email via blueboxpodcast@yahoo.co.uk.
We actually forgot to read a couple of things out there, so we're going to do it now as a little extra after the credit sequence. Luke James Riley just messages on Facebook to say the first time I watched was the David Tennant episodes. I then went back to the Ninth Doctor episodes. I just remember liking having something to watch each weekend. It was only during season 3 that he truly became invested in the show.
Mm.
You know, and although that's sort of only a small little thing to say, that's actually quite true. When you first start watching Doctor Who, you're not immediately invested in it. Sometimes, if there's something that really grabs you, like if your first one you see is Genesis, you're probably hooked.
Mm.
But I mean, if you just started watching something like Robot, you know, or say, for example, The Time Warrior. I mean, that's a story you can appreciate more as an adult. But as a kid, you're probably,
this
is fun, but it takes a while till you'd really...
So it'd be interesting to find out, Luke, what it was that made you suddenly invest in the show. What was that
during
moment?
Season 3.
Yeah.
Well, I think what he's saying is he started to watch it every weekend because it was on and just sort of gradually found himself being pulled in.
Was there a trigger point, I'm wondering?
Right. There was also a conversation on Facebook, and this involved 4 people. So we're going to read this conversation out.
Okay, go on then.
I'm going to be Tony Eccles.
Right.
Lee, you're going to be Lee Rawlings.
Ah, original.
There are 5 people. So I'll be Tony Eccles. Lee, you can be Lee. Simon, you can be Colleen Hawkins.
She'll like that.
And Mark, you can be Mark Cockrum.
Oh, thanks.
And I tell you what, Adam Golding, Lee, you can do that because you haven't got a spot. Right, Tony Eccles. When I was younger, I watched Doctor Who, Pertwee and Tom Baker with my parents as it was off and on at the time of day when we had dinner.
You do know he's a Scouser, don't you?
Who cares? As I got older and discovered girls around the time of Davison and Baker, I would watch it on my own in my bedroom. Unfortunately, I missed much of the McCoy era as I had discovered women.
Were you at the table or was it on your lap that you ate your food?
I had dinner on my lap. The vegetables were always overcooked. I associate overcooked cauliflower with the Daleks. Right, this is Adam Golding now.
Saturday tea, eaten in front of the TV as a treat, were salt and vinegar crisp sandwiches with salad cream on white thin-sliced Mother's Pride bread and a fondant fancy splashed down with red fizzy. Doctor Who was watched from behind the sofa in case of the Cybermen. Daleks never scared me, but the Cybermen were, and the giant slugs. Ooh, scary emoticon. And it was in black and white.
Right, the next bit is Colleen Hawkins and Mark Cockrum chatting together. So I'm going to pass it to Simon to do Colleen and Mark can do Mark.
This is like a big finish, isn't it?
Just read the damn conversation. These people have written to us. It's, you know, it's our job to do them service.
I think discovering women during the McCoy era was probably a lucky escape, Tony, for you, if not for the women. By the way, if ever you want to write a memoir about being a Doctor Who fan, a la Dalek, I loved you, or Moths Ate My Doctor Who Scarf, then might I suggest the first line should be, I associate overcooked cauliflower with the Daleks. If that doesn't grab people by their reading parts, then I don't know what would.
So then I chip in with any Who-based memories you care to share, Colleen.
I think I may already have mentioned somewhere that I attribute my lifelong terror of spiders to seeing Planet of the Spiders at a very young age. A very, very young age. Smiley face. I had nightmares about giant spiders jumping on my back for months afterwards. Potts was a... Potts?
Planet of the Spiders, sorry.
Potts was a double trauma, really, as I also had to cope with my first regeneration, and I know I got very upset about the Doctor's change of appearance.
Is that your abbreviation allergy coming through again, Simon?
Tom Baker quickly won me over, though, so it was all fine. Well, apart from the hideous spider nightmares that plagued me for months and the extreme arachnophobia that persists to this day. Smiley face. It was all worth it, though.
Now, I'm trying to be nice to her, so I say, you must
don't
have been...
Don't say what was happening. Just read your lines.
Okay. Sorry, Dad.
What were you wearing, Mark?
Just act on
it. So I said, you must have been watching on UK Gold during the 90s, then.
Nice.
I think we're looking... Oh, no, it's you again. There you go.
Oh, yeah. I think we're looking more into stuff you remember about that time in your life where you watched.
Could you do this by the microphone?
Oh, God.
Go on, Mark.
More by association than specific stories. Yeah, although I don't think you're alone in your arachnophobia.
I wish that were true, but no, I watched it as a young kid in 1974 with my mum. I think she nearly turned it off when she realised the effect it was having on me, but I quieted down when I realised that was a possibility. I remember being terrified by the images on screen, but even more terrified that I might not be allowed to watch the show again, as it was my favourite then and now. Smiley face.
And that's the end of the show. Good night, kids.
Woo!
Can you hear me now? Talking on a Blue Box podcast. Ooh. I can't do the high bits.